Oh, the imaging, yeah. Well, we can only see them in chunks. We have to wait for people to arrive with the camera. So
right.
They are, in fact, doing that now. As we speak, we'll have done 43 in 2 days.
Wow. Let's see, that will...
Well, not all of them are going to enter your group, but maybe 20-some.
All right, well, 23 images will bring you up to pretty close to what you're supposed to be at.
Yeah, I figure.
Let's hope there's a lot of FAS kids in there today.
There was a slew.
Well, let's see. Elizabeth Sal's not going to be on. Jen's not going to be on. Catherine Narr may not be on. Ken's downstairs in Atlanta, so he's not going to be on. Bill is out of his office. We don't know where. Sarah's not going to be on. And Susan Houston is iffy. So maybe Tatiana and Tina. Tatiana's always late. And Tina, I don't know. Saw her the other day. So we'll give another minute. Well, anything new with anybody?
Mm.
Wow, you people lead boring lives.
Pretty much, yes.
I think Tina is in Pittsburgh giving a talk.
Yeah, I think she just left. She was there, but I don't know if she's still.
No, she's back. I had lunch with her. I saw them Wednesday. She was back from Pittsburgh.
I've got a question about the paper idea that Sarah floated out. I think she's not on the call, though, right?
Right. Today's her son's birthday.
Oh, good, good. Is it an objective study, or is there kind of a foregone conclusion with this?
Could you remind us what it's about again?
Ed might do a better job, but it was a comparison of the different...
The different types of dysmorphology.
Yeah, she talked to me about it the other day. I talked to Ken and Tina, and they thought it was a good idea. I'm not sure who would take the lead on it, though, whether it would come out of the dysmorphology core. The CFAS uses a slightly different criteria than the IOM or the HOIMI revised IOM. And they're very similar, but they're not exactly the same. And so she was interested in how the diagnosis would match up. Would the same kids get caught no matter what? Or would one of them miss kids? So that was it. So all the data are there. It's just, you know, a matter of someone writing an algorithm to diagnose them based upon the Institute of Medicine. And then do a comparison.
That sounds good. I didn't mean to sound so cynical. I sometimes hear different camps talking about four-digit versus other.
Well, you can forget the four-digit.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, well, it depends who you're talking to.
Yeah, exactly.
But... Well, I don't know. Does Fred Bookstein use the four-digit?
Don't know.
Hi, it's Michael Charnas. Just came in.
Hey, Michael. How have you been?
Just groovy. It's one of those frantic Friday afternoons here.
We'll try not to keep you too long.
No, that's okay. This is actually an improvement over what I've been doing.
Tatiana's on, too.
Really sorry. Oh.
How about a big improvement?
Oh, my God. So I talked to Ken and Tina the other day, and they are more than willing to recruit for that study. in their new epidemiology study. So, Michael, we may have something going there.
Oh, great.
It's just a matter of finding the time to put it pen to paper.
That would be great. Have you already discussed the Fred Bookstein comments?
No, not yet. We brought up his name because we were wondering. I don't think they use the four-digit code. So we brought up the four-digit code, and that's how Fred's name got mentioned. But
I think when he's working with Susan, he must be using the four-digit code.
Yeah, but
when he's doing Ann's data, he's not, of course, because that's not where it's coming from.
But does he work with Susan?
It seems to me there were several papers that came out with brain imaging that he was involved in. I could be wrong.
But
I guess what I would say about his comments is that they were very strong and self-assured and very definitive. And
well, you know, Fred.
Where are the comments?
And as I said to Dale the other day when we were talking about it, Fred only knows that there's a black and that there's a white. And so it doesn't surprise me that his comments were as strongly put as they were.
Could somebody explain what they were, what the statement was?
Yeah, I'm calling it up right now.
Yeah, and Astley and Bookstein do not have any papers together.
Oh, okay. Then never mind.
Fred said that he would not mind if his daughters drank when they were pregnant, as long as they didn't binge drink.
Cool.
And never more than two, because after two, you lose count. And that's from memory, so Dale may have.
There was a more definitive comment about if a patient ever asked him about this, he would refer them to this paper. It's the end of the story. No one needs to do any more research on this.
Oh, good.
Here's a line. The study was, I don't know if this is a direct quote, the study was so well done and its findings so conclusive that it ought to become the final word in the field. It was a paraphrasing of some.
And that's the Kelly paper?
I'm not reading from the paper. I'm reading from the first news caption that Tim Cudd sent us.
Yeah, and that's, as a result, that was in response to the Kelly paper that was published at the 5-year follow-up of a kid from the study in England. I forget. Claire, did you write the commentary for the 3-year follow-up?
Yes, long ago, I think.
Yeah, I think you, I, and Dan Savage did, but I forget what we found wrong with the paper, but
I think that we thought they didn't control for SES.
Yeah.
That might have been it. And the other thing was that there may be effects later on in life, and they admit that in the paper. I mean, the authors themselves had a lot of caveats what was problematic. And, you know, maybe low doses don't cause things, but the comment was kind of unusual.
Yeah, it was strange.
Why they went to Fred, I have no idea.
Because they figured he'd make a comment.
All right, well, if on the agenda today, we can, I guess, go on. I guess Tina and people from UCLA are not going to be on.
I'm on.
The PASS project that you're all aware of.
Who was that?
Prenatal Alcohol SIDS project. They are meeting right after us in Washington, D.C., after our winter meeting at the beginning of February. And they asked their members, and they would indeed like to have a joint meeting. And so we were going to meet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And however, since a lot of people want to stay over for the joint PASS meeting, which would be on Thursday morning, or Thursday till around 2 or 3 in the afternoon, I thought it would be best if we just had a meeting of CFAS on Tuesday and Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and then those people who then wanted to participate in the joint meeting could stay over for that third day. and then head home Thursday night. We're still working out some details, and the only caveat, which I guess is holding up this going into its final planning stages, that the new director of NICHD has been invited to the PASS meeting, and no one knows if he's coming or when he's coming. But if he comes, they would like to present the PASS project data and not have to deal with CFAS. So Dale yesterday, I guess, tried to find out from NICHD when he was scheduled to show up. They don't have it on his calendar as yet, but Dale put in the idea that him showing up on Thursday probably would not be the best idea. So I think we're just going to have to go along and plan on a meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday and have a joint meeting on Thursday. And if by chance the director does decide to show up and our joint meeting gets shortened or usurped, then we'll just have to sit around and go to Ken's office and have a little extra day of the clinical group of CFAS.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think we'll know ahead of time? We'll find out that day what his plans are?
I think we'll have a good idea ahead of time, but
okay.
Knowing directors of NIH institutes a little bit, you know, he could change his mind at the last minute.
Okay.
And so I know it's an inconvenience for us, but I think
it's worth it to have the opportunity to meet with them.
We have the opportunity, and we should probably take advantage of it.
Okay.
And I would add the importance of Alan Guttmacher interacting with the PASS network for them is that they will have just submitted their competitive renewal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would probably like to have some one-on-one time with him, if you know what I mean.
Per the basic science, Kathy Sulik, Peter Hammond has been invited to the meeting.
Good.
And hopefully he is coming. He emailed me. He wanted to know what the PASS project was, so I emailed him last night about that. And go on from there. Michael, I hate to ask you to do this again because I'm sure you're tired of it. You want to give us a little update on the NIAAA NIDA?
Sure. I'm going to change it a little bit from the last one.
The solution and the creation of a new institute?
Yeah. So some of you, probably all of you, have gotten some information from RSA about the vote of the SMRB. The Scientific Management Review Board was required from the NIH Authorization Act to evaluate the organization and structure of NIH, and one of the first tasks it undertook was to look at the possible merger of NIAAA and NIDA. They convened a substance use, abuse, and addiction subcommittee to examine this in detail. Many people testified before them, submitted opinions. The substance use and abuse addiction subcommittee essentially split on their recommendations between a functional reorganization, which would be like the Neuroscience Opportunity Network, or OPNET, where the institutes would stay as integral separate institutes, but would collaborate and also collaborate with other institutes that are involved in the study of addictions, including obesity and gambling, for example. And a second option, which was for a structural reorganization that would essentially dissolve NIDA and NIAAA and form a new institute, name, portfolio, and function still to be determined, but somewhere along the lines of substance use, abuse, and addiction. And that components of NIAAA, in particular, that were not related to addiction, might be transferred to other institutes, including fetal alcohol spectrum disorders to NICHD and alcoholic liver disease to NIDDK. The Sue, as I said, split on this, the subcommittee that looked at this in detail. At the meeting of the larger group, there was a 12-3 vote in favor of dissolving NIAAA and NIDA and forming a new institute. There were some procedural issues in how this was done. There was really no clear resolution that they voted on. Eventually, they retrospectively said, this is what we voted on. It was a little bit chaotic, in part because I think the chair didn't really exercise strong control over some of the more outspoken members of the SMRB, including Harold Varmus. Where things stand at this point is that Francis Collins has received the recommendations of this group. He was obviously in attendance and aware of all of this. We know that Building 1, the director's office, wasn't necessarily enthusiastic about this option based on comments that were heard and spoken subsequently, but the size of the vote was such that there is an expectation that it's going to be difficult for him on his own to be able to reject the recommendations. And the process, which is also not very clearly delineated, involves now deliberation with some decision due soon, I think, by Francis Collins on whether to accept or reject the vote of the SMRB. If he accepts it or modifies it, whatever he proposes will be sent to Secretary Sebelius of Health and Human Services, who has to approve this. Either coincident with the beginning of the process, which is his referral to Secretary Sebelius, or after Secretary Sebelius agrees or disagrees, there's a period of 180 days for Congress to act against the recommendation. If Congress fails to act through a joint resolution opposing the recommendation, then it will come to pass, and steps will be taken to integrate or dissolve and form a new institute from NIDA and IAAA. And components of other institutes that have been articulated, including maybe the $300 million tobacco piece of the National Cancer Institute and a piece of NHLBI or NIDDK that deals with obesity and maybe part of NIMH that deals with gambling and maybe comorbidity. All of that would be determined by committees that the director would have to convene to examine the mission, the portfolio, the name, and the mechanism for forming a new institute and dealing with the component parts of the institutes that would be dissolved. There would need to be, at some point, following the moment of dissolution, the appointment of an acting, or if they choose to look in advance, an actual permanent director of the new institute. Both the acting director of NIAAA and the director of NIDA would have their jobs evaporate, in a sense, as those institutes were dissolved, and although either or both would be eligible to apply for the new position, there's no assurance that, for example, Nora Volkoff would be the person selected. In terms of the response of interest groups, both family groups, organizations, and certainly RSA to this, it's evolved even over the course of this last week. RSA has sent out a request for people to contact the director of NIH and to express their views, and people have also been advised to contact their congressional representatives and senators to make their views known. There is a combined group whose letter was sent out to the RSA membership maybe as recently as today, that is expressing concern to Francis Collins about the process that was followed and steps that were prescribed but not taken in the course of that vote. You can all look at that. It basically had to do with consulting other NIH directors before the vote and following certain steps that really weren't followed I think that in general these things don't tend to turn on procedural errors, especially when the actual process is not very clearly articulated by the Reauthorization Act. I think in court battles that tends to be more important. I think this is not so well defined that that will be the case. But it was a fairly large coalition of groups ranging from the American Association for the Study of Liver Disease to RSA with some family groups and other groups in between. And those groups are going to continue to work separately and together to look at what additional steps might be taken to forestall the dissolution of NIAAA and to recommend alternative courses of action, as half the members of the subcommittee that studied this in detail were willing to recommend. That's it.
Okay, so I guess you saw that they think the report will be delivered in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Collins' office and then make a decision. So the next 2 or 3 weeks will be a critical time for people to let Dr. Collins know your sentiments about the possible dissolution of NIAAA and NIDA, or what moving the FAS portfolio to NICHD might have on the research field.
I would say that this coming week would be a good time to get that stuff in.
And just from the data that I could find, the funding level at NICHD is about 12th percentile. Funding level at NIAAA is around the 24th percentile.
Wow.
So
those are by success.
What?
Success rates, maybe?
Yeah, success rate. I'm sorry. The success rates are 12 and 24 around there. So it's a little lower than NIAAA. So people may want to consider that when they decide whether or not they want to write a letter or not. Okay, any other comments on the merger? Personally, I like the one on hypoism. I don't know whether you saw that, Michael.
I did not see that. Where was that?
It's in the Nature responses to the Nature one online.
I'll have to go look for that. What did it say?
That they should take NIMH and put it in as well because they deal with behavioral addictions. And all behavioral addiction, all addictions are due to low dopamine and hypoism. And it's a theory that's been proposed by Dan Ubinoff. And he wants to call it the National Institute of Hypoism.
So, that would be NIH.
We'll keep it just like we are. So, and that's in Nature News. All right. Any other comments or questions about the potential for this merger, new institute? I also thought I read something in one of these that said that the directors would have to be replaced, but I don't think that's true. I
heard that, but I don't know if it's true.
Well, you know, it depends on how they do this, but if you have a new institute, you need a new search. You can't just appoint somebody to a new institute without a search.
Yeah. Someone even had a comment that a merger would be good for the alcohol people because that then they might be able to put the resources behind the alcohol problem that it deserves. But that was in one of the other comments.
Well, it makes a big assumption that the people who would be running this institute shared the view that alcohol was as important as perhaps we believe it is or that NIAAA does.
Right. All right. So as Jill has pointed out in this in her agenda update on the phone call to you, FASD has been in the news quite a bit. this week. Part of it, as a result of the Kelly study, at a five-year follow-up showing no effects of low levels of alcohol exposure during gestation. The latest one was the one, I guess, I think Susan Smith sent it out this morning, which was an ABC News story on an Illinois mother who's taking their adopted child and giving them back up.
Yeah, I would stay away from that one.
A lot of comments in there that are quite interesting if you go to the website and read down the comments, because a lot of people don't think that this little girl has fetal alcohol syndrome. But other than that, Bill, do you want to tell us what's going on with the Informatics Corps?
Sure. Well, we had a reorganization of my groups in Indianapolis, and there really isn't that much impact on this project because we're pretty much going to be doing the same things as we had been doing before. But I did want to let you know, what it really results in is me taking a little bit more active role in managing the Informatics Corps and being involved in that perspective. So hopefully that'll be a good thing. And then as part of that, we've been reviewing exactly, you know, what we're taking on in terms of projects, what good it does for you and what good it does for the consortium, and just making sure that we're on the right page and doing the right things in the right priorities. And that was sort of the genesis of that survey we did. And really, we just wanted to find out how much you're using the central repository, how the data are going in there, how you intend to use it, you know, what kinds of outputs you want from that. And because we're looking at you know, what are we doing now with the central repository? More importantly, what are we doing with the cross query tool? Is it something that people want to use? Is it something they can use? Is it something that people are going to want to go in and do big SQL query and pull all the data down and then do their study? Or is it something where, you know, people might feel more comfortable being able to go in and browse the data? And because those are very different kinds of processes in terms of looking at the data and determining, you know, how to approach a scientific problem. So that was the point of the survey that we did. I also had a little chat. I know Sarah's not here today, but I had a little chat with her on the phone. And really, we really want to kind of hear back from folks on this phone call if it's useful about do you anticipate you know, wanting to kind of go in and muck around with the stuff in the central repository and pull your data out? Do you want to have somebody help you with those queries? I've asked this question before. I asked at the last face-to-face. Or would you like to have us take care of those for you? And are there some things that we can start looking at that would make it more easy for you to consume those data for the research projects you have coming up? So a lot of questions. I can do kind of one at a time if you like.
I wonder if we've got the right people on the call to answer that.
Yeah, I think
possibly not, but I do want to get a sense of kind of the mood of the room of how do you want to go about accessing data for your research, and maybe you don't need to talk about it in terms of technologies. In fact, I prefer you didn't. I just want to get a sense of how you want to approach the data for your research projects.
I personally think that different people are going to have different needs, and that some people are going to just want to go in and have free rein to start looking at whatever they choose to and go at it, where other people are going to want help from the Informatics Corps in putting together the queries and then dealing with a single database that you provide.
Right. Okay. And that's fine. And
it's going to be very investigator-driven.
Okay. And I think that's fair. One of the things that I heard from Sarah was that she would like to have a little bit more ability to kind of browse the data, because I know that there are questions of making sure that I've got all the data that are there, and I know that the data are very complex, and sometimes you'll have someone will have a dysmorphology exam or a multiple dysmorphology exam, and you're looking for that same person with a neurobehavioral exam, and you want to make sure that you get all those records, and you might be wondering why some of the records or some, you know, the data from some of these records are not there. And so we're trying to come up with some tools that make it easier for you guys to approach these problems.
Yeah, and I think that we wanted to talk with Ken and Leah, mm-hmm. about the dysmorphology and how errors get corrected these days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's no longer doing all of that. So
right.
That we'll have to have separate.
Right, and we can certainly have a conversation with her about, you know, how we, you know, make those data available for her. One thing we don't want to do is kind of get in the business of actually changing any data or managing any data, because that we really see is something that resides in the court of the research teams.
Right.
Right.
So
for Bill?
That being said, you know, based on the feedback I got from the survey, I think one thing we want to do is start looking at some tools that will allow people, even us, to go in and do a little bit more in terms of data browsing, rather than just you do a big query, you get a data dump, and that's what you have. So that's the sense that I have, and I think we're going to start looking for some of those options and maybe start playing around with those a little bit.
Righty.
So that's what's up from us.
Any questions for Bill? All righty. Then I think we'll just move on. I'm happy to report that for the neuroimaging progress, all of the sites are now above their proposed target. So we have more scans than we had proposed. So I think we're doing very well there now. Everybody's over 100% of their first scans, and now the second scans are going to be starting, I think, in the next 2 months. I think in December they start. So that's reasonable. We have a total of 185 people that have roughly half FAS, half controls, who have been scanned. So that's a fairly large database of brain imaging available to us. The neurobehavioral, I still think that we have some problems there. New Mexico has picked up a little bit. The Plains has kind of leveled off, but they're going back up there in November to do a number, I think another 20 or 30 kids. South Africa is now above its target. San Diego is above its target. Los Angeles is about the same as it was last month, and they're deficient in getting the data into the repository.
Ed, this is Suzanne from UCLA. We were having problems with the repository and our upload tool, and it took us about the last month to get it. We are working with Michelle and Indiana to get it fixed, and we just got it fixed this week. So we're now trying to, like, get all the data in there.
Yeah, I think this is Atlanta. We were having difficulties uploading data also.
Yeah, we kept going back and forth between Michelle and us here, just trying to get the upload tool to work properly. So we finally got it figured out. So we're in kind of a mode to get everything in now.
Okay, Michelle, is everything fixed there?
As far as I know, everything is working.
Yeah.
Because me, I ask everybody. As far Atlanta, I moved the data to the new version of the tool, and I asked if there was any problems. I haven't heard anything, so assume everything's okay.
Yeah, Michelle, I think everything's working now. But thank you for all your help getting that done.
All right. So then, could we get those? By the time of the next conference call, could we get all the data that we have into the repository?
Yeah, I have my work study doing it now.
Fantastic.
Trying to get it in.
Fantastic. All righty. And I talked to Phil, and so he is saying that, you know, they are trying to recruit heavily in New Mexico. They're still much heavier on the ADHD kids than on the control, than on the FAS kids, where they have very few. and trying what he can to get more of those FASD kids. I think that the about that, I guess. And then in terms of the 3D imaging, San Diego is above their proposal. Los Angeles is above the proposal. Atlanta should be above or right at their proposed target after tomorrow.
After collection tomorrow complete, I think so.
And I guess nothing is happening in the Ukraine on imaging anymore.
No, they're not doing it.
The quality was too low.
And was that because they were infants or because they didn't know what they were doing?
Well, I think we went back and forth. I mean, Claire perhaps can speak more to it since she, you know, she's been there. So we worked with them. I think part of the issue is that the rate at which they're seeing kids is pretty low. And so what they'd wanted to do was to leave a camera there. I think it was 6 or 9 months. Claire, you tell me if I don't remember which one it was. And the number of kids you would have gotten would have been about 40 kids. And so with the opportunity to put a camera over and pass and see a lot more kids, we said that that was where we felt the camera needed to go. And pass, I certainly hope that we're looking at starting that before the end of the year. I hope.
Yeah, you were dependent upon the babies being born.
Yeah.
And you know, the babies are born when the babies are born.
No, I don't mean like that, yeah. And just in terms of movement and just the ability to get good images, that just didn't quite happen, and so I just think we'll get more of what we can use. Let me just say it that way, and that's through no fault of anyone.
Unless you could leave a camera in
more
place.
About possibly getting a camera in South Africa for, you know, their kids.
Wait, for which kids? I'm sorry.
The ones that Phil and Colleen are seeing in South Africa.
I have emailed. Phil, and I'm glad to do it again. So what I had asked for was when they were having the dysmorphologist come to me, that seemed the perfect time to bring the camera because you're going to have a large number of kids. And I have made the offer now, I think a couple times, that we would be glad to come and do that. I just think I don't think it makes sense to leave a camera there because I don't think they want to train someone. But if they're going to have a large number of kids seen, we would, just as we did with the Jacobsons, just as we do with Claire in Atlanta, as we do in Los Angeles, we are glad to send someone over and do a bolus of kids for 2 weeks or whatever length of time the dysmorphologists are there. We would be willing to do that. I haven't gotten...
planning another trip back to South Africa.
Do you know when?
No, but
I'd be glad. I can. I would glad during part of this call to email it again.
So, because I mean, you got none from that group, and that's they were supposed to provide 250 images or something.
Right. So what we did is, in essence, replaced them with the Jacobsons. And then the other thing is, and if you want to talk about Jeff Wozniak, so. I think I've just sent him, there's a set of dates that Ken could do. There's three sets of dates.
Does everyone know about Jeff Wozniak?
Oh. Why don't we
check? Not know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows? All right.
Okay, so one of the things, do you want me to say a little bit? So he, we've been discussing with him the opportunity to come up and do a particularly focused collection on fetal alcohol, so kids' meaningful criteria for fetal alcohol syndrome. And so we've gone back and forth. He currently has, with his IRB, a protocol to bring kids back in again and do 3D imaging as well as saliva collection. And I just emailed with him this morning. It's at the IRB. He thinks he's done the saliva before, which is the one that he thought, you know, would be likely to get questions. He is projecting that he thinks he'll have approval by the end of the month. So I emailed while Ken and Lee are together asking if they could look at their calendars together while they're sitting in a room and figure out what dates we could offer to Jeff, because then he'll begin to schedule the kids. So I have dates as early as November 3rd, 4th. Then I have two different sets of dates in December. And so I've asked him if he has a preference. And I'm hoping by early next week we could start getting, could get that schedule. I'm a little nervous about the November 3rd, 4th, because if he does have any glitch in his IRB, that might be in trouble. But the 1st through 3rd seems ideal. He would certainly have IRB approval, and that would give us time to get the kids there. So it'd be just like we do in Atlanta and San Diego. Bring a whole bunch of kids in. We have Ken there. He sees them. Leah gets the images, and we get the saliva further. So it'd be just the same kind of thing. And I think we're talking about, I want to say, I think it was 30 kids, wasn't it, Ed? 30 or 40 kids.
Yeah, he had a reasonable number. Mm-hmm. Of, we don't know about their diagnosis, but they were diagnosed by, I forget the guy's name. But it, the clinic is run by the Oriental guy who recently retired. And Jeff
Chang?
Yeah. P.J.P. Chang, mm-hmm. whatever. So, I mean, that's a way I think we can hopefully get a larger number of FAS kits because...
That's what's limiting Peter Hammond.
Holding up Peter Hammond's project. And since I invested money in that, I really would like to see
that,
that work happen.
And then do you want me to give an update on the pass as well? Do you want me to just march through all the different things?
Tatiana, I've got a quick question. So,
oh,
so
sure. Go ahead.
With Jeff's population, is it a defined range, age range that he –
No, he would have a broad age range. So it would be just like what we recruit in Atlanta in the U.S. sites, which is also a broad age range.
Okay. And does that breadth, does that hamper Peter Hammond? Or is that a good thing?
Well, the data he's been working with in South Africa is a very narrow age range. I won't put words in his mouth. My guess is he would always say a narrow age range is probably easier. But I think given the work he's done in other syndromes that have dysmorphology, I've seen where he has presented work that shows an analysis across an age range. So I know he can kind of correct for it is the right word, but model it, I guess, would be the best word for it. So I know that he can. I know that he can do it, and he's never expressed a concern about having it. I think it was a nice thing about the South Africa data that it was a narrow age range, but I don't think it's required.
Yeah, good.
And do you want to talk about the saliva and the GWAS?
Yeah, let me do PASS, and then I'll do the saliva GWAS because I'm going to have a question for Claire in a minute. So the other thing is many of you are aware we've been talking with the PASS group, and so the next step we were at is Hein is has actually at his IRB the request to add 3D images. So that is not a saliva collection. They already have that actually as part of PASS. So this is just for 3D images. That is at his IRB, and I turned in the protocol and the suggested IRB language to Adanya, I think it's Ramirez, and that actually is going to get discussed on the next PASS steering call, which is October 22nd. I think that's the right date. It's a Friday. So, I will answer questions at that time, and I assume that this will go through at that point. And it's my understanding that once we receive that approval, and then we can start to talk about dates to get over there and schedule. So that's sort of the PASS piece. And then for the GWAS, let me walk you through what's going on with that. So we had requested after one of the calls, it was actually Elizabeth Sowell who had started the discussions of should we be considering some candidate genes in terms of looking at a variety of phenotypes. And what we had decided was actually it was probably more cost effective to actually do a GWAS rather than it was to start talking about a series of genes that we wanted to consider testing for their association with a range of phenotypes. So we had put in a supplement, and that was approved. And actually the funds have been awarded to Indiana University, but they are currently held pending us submitting a data sharing plan, which is required for all NIH-supported genome-wide association studies. So we're trying to get a call scheduled on, and that's actually Claire, if while we're on the call, you can look at your calendar. It's Tuesday, October 26th is the date that they are looking to do the call between 12:30 and 3. And so what we need to have across the sites, which is then Atlanta, San Diego, and Los Angeles, is what data elements will be shared with the genome-wide association genotypes. And so this goes into dbGaP. And so we just need to discuss what variables we're going to include, make sure that we're protecting in terms of PHI, but make sure that it's a data set that would be valuable to researchers that would go along with the genotypes. And so we need to settle that, put that all in writing, and then I need to submit that back to Bill, and then that needs to get approved, and then we could proceed with the GWAS. So if you just email me back, Claire, then I think we could schedule it.
Fine. What time would it be here?
Anytime between 12:30 and 3 is what they're offering. So you need to say you don't care anytime in there?
Mm-hmm, that's all fine.
Oh, fantastic. All right, then it'll get scheduled today. All right.
Okay.
Perfect. And that's it for me, I think.
All righty.
Okay.
Any other issues? All right. Well, then we have about 2 months more data collection, so we've reached our target. So I'm hoping that everyone can get going on that. I think I'm going to have to start asking people to see how they're coming along on the 5 questions that were put out in our January meeting, because I'm not sure that I'd like to see some results from those questions that we thought were so important to answer. And my recollection is that I haven't seen any papers on them, but I could be wrong. So I will email each of the people taking charge of that and ask for an update on the next conference call. All right?
Okay.
Dale, any comments?
No, but, yeah, I'd like to see the follow-through on those 5 questions. That would be a good perhaps focus for part of the face-to-face and just to see where it's heading.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a year, and, you know, we should have something, so. All right. Anything else, Michael?
Nope. Sounds fine to me.
All right. Okay, well, thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Dr. Riley?
Yeah.
Tina Chambers is on the call. Did you want an update on her projects?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Tina.
Hello.
Tina?
Well, she chimed in that she...
Sorry. I am on the call. Sorry, I've been on mute the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Did we just say anything about you?
Yeah, you guys have been talking about me. So, things are going great. We have passed the halfway mark, and we're in the process now of doing all the baseline nutrition status data analysis and getting those papers out. And Claire and Julie are looking at a 3 or 4 times the sample size we had at our last progress report, and relating that back to the baseline nutrition samples. And our next step is we're getting all the dysmorphology data entered, and that should be ready to upload to the repository by next week. And we're
Did you hear my comment about us getting together and finding out how corrections are being made in dysmorphology?
Yeah. So, and I responded to Bill's survey on behalf of Leela. I do not know what the process for that is. So I think that probably needs to be outlined for sure.
Okay. We have to develop one then.
Yeah, right. I don't know what the process is.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's okay. That's all I have to say. And then the next step is I brought back the archive scans from the ultrasounds, and that's a lengthy process to go through and clean and convert that data to an analyzable data set, and that's the next thing on the horizon.
Okay, that was one of the projects that PASS was very interested in, the 3D ultrasound measures. So I was going to invite Andy to that meeting in January.
I thought it was February.
February.
I'm sorry. So does that work for you?
Yeah.
All right. And is Carl back up and running things?
Yep. They're up to speed now. They're just finishing the measures of oxidative defense on all of the samples they have to date, and then they've got another shipment coming in the next week or so of another 100 samples. And that, as I understand it, there are none of the panel of nutrients or oxidative stress measures that they are unable to do now. I think they're up to speed on all of them.
All right.
Also, Dr. Tushy's on the call.
Hi.
Hi, Claudia. You want to update us?
No, things are going well. We're meeting again tomorrow. Just cranking along.
All right, so how many megs do you have now, 12?
No, we have 15. We're going to have two more tomorrow. We'll be up to 17.
And what's your impression?
What's my impression? The data looks really nice. Really interesting data. We're beginning to analyze the behavioral data. We may have behavioral differences as well as waveform differences in the data between the two groups. Had a flood in my lab and couldn't get at the data for several months, but things are back to normal now, so very happy about that.
All righty then.
Okay.
Anyone else, Jill, that I'm overlooking?
I think that's it. Dr. Teshi, can you just email me your current IRB when you have a moment?
Okay.
Thank
Who are you.
You?
Who are you?
Jill, sorry.
Recognize your voice.
This is
okay, sure.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you all, and have a great weekend. And
okay.
I'm going to Italy on Wednesday, so.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you expecting sympathy, or what are you looking for?
Yeah. It's just a travel log.
I'm flying.
You're what?
The whole time on CFAS stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send us pictures on a boat.
Drink, right? It's all about drinking.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.